We're talking tonight about the sovereignty of God, and we want to tie that in to biblical prophecy. You know, it's one thing to be able to say that something is going to happen. It's another thing to be able to say that something is going to happen far in the future. It's quite another thing to be able to say that something is going to happen in the future and have the power to make sure that it does happen the way you said it was going to happen. Most all of us probably at one time or another in our lives have said that we were going to do this or that or the other thing at a certain time on a certain day and then didn't do it. But God's not that way. We know, one of the ways that we know that the Bible is inspired by God is the fact that when He prophesied that something was going to take place, it took place. That's one of the ways that we know that He is reigning, as our Scripture says. That He is ruling in the affairs of men. That He rules over the kingdoms of men. And one of the reasons that I've chosen this topic and that I want to look at this is because of our current status in our country. You know, often things happen and there's turmoil for various reasons and to various degrees. But one of the things that as Christians we need to always keep in mind is that God's in control. If we, and that doesn't mean that we don't think about it or that we don't talk about it. Certainly doesn't mean that we don't pray about it. We need to pray about it. And we need to pray as Philip did for our country's leaders and so forth. But one of the things that we have to keep in mind is that if ever it gets to a point where God decides that a particular country is going to fall, it's going to fall. And it doesn't matter what decisions the leaders of that country make, they won't work because God's already decided it's going to fall. And we're going to look at one case in point of that in Ezekiel. The case is that of the city of Tyre. T-Y-R-E, not tires like are on your car, but the city of Tyre. Now the city of Tyre is one example of the way that God prophesied through Ezekiel of a certain thing that was going to happen and then made sure that it came to pass as He said it would. So He showed not only His ability to prophesy, and the words written in Ezekiel testify to the fact that God was working through him and that His words were inspired and is one of the testimonies of the inspiration of Scripture, but also to the sovereignty of God, that He was in control. Let me tell you a little bit about the city of Tyre. One of the things that we have to understand about the city of Tyre is that it was an ancient city already by the time Ezekiel wrote about it and prophesied about it. Herodotus, who lived in the 400s B.C., had gone to visit the city of Tyre. And he asked about a particular temple that they had built in there to one of their false gods. But he asked about it, and they said that that temple is as old as Tyre itself, and Tyre has already stood for 2,300 years. Now this was in the 400s B.C. So by this time then, we see that you can trace it back to 2,700 B.C. That's an old city. Realize, of course, that the earth, according to the calculations that we get from the chronologies in the Bible, the earth was only around about 4,000 years before Christ. So this city was apparently founded not long after the flood. This city had been around from ancient times. It was already ancient by the time in the 500s that these prophecies about its destruction. And you say, well, it had survived all that time. How could Ezekiel be so sure that it wasn't going to survive for that many more years? Now, before we go any further, I want to mention that if you look at a map of the world today, you will see a city called Tyre that is in the general vicinity of where this city was. Okay? But Ezekiel prophesied the destruction of the city as it was. The city, anytime, as long as the world's been here, you can go just about anywhere there's a city and you can dig down and find the ruins of other cities from past civilizations that are down there. And the same thing with the modern city of Tyre. It may bear the same name, but it's not in any way associated with the city that Ezekiel writes about. A few more things about this city. It was one of the wealthiest trading cities in history. It was noted by one historian that it was the most important of all the Phoenician cities. And you read in the Old Testament, when you read about King David and King Solomon, you read that they went to the king of Tyre. His name was Hiram at that time. And they went to him to get the cedars that they built their houses and the temple. And they went to him because he was the wealthiest. He was an expert at those things. And he had servants who knew how to navigate the seas. You realize how much was lost over time? You've got here some 1,000 years before Christ, these people who knew how to build boats and sail the seas. And yet by 1492, in Columbus's time, people thought he was going to sail off the edge of the earth. But 2,500 years earlier, there were people who had this kind of knowledge already. Knowledge often is gained like that, and then it's lost. You look at tragedies that have occurred, like the burning of the library at Alexandria in northern Africa. And all of the knowledge that was lost because of that library being burnt. Because it was a library that housed all of the knowledge of that up to that time. Everything they could had known and learned, and the history up to that point was all housed in that library. And some of those things, it was the only copy there was of it, was in that library. And then when it was burned and was destroyed. So there are a lot of times, we look at the pyramids of Egypt, and we realize that even today with all our technology, we can't figure out how they did it. We couldn't do it. But they did. And we look at all of those things and we realize that those people had a knowledge. And they had these cities. And Tyre was one of those cities. Wealthy city. A great city. In fact, it was built on a little island, and then there was also another part of it that was on the mainland. Because of its position, because of the way that it was both geographically and some other defensive advantages, from the time of 1400 BC on, the city of Tyre was considered impregnable. And that doesn't mean they couldn't make it pregnant, okay? It means that nobody could break in. That's what impregnable meant. It was a fortress, and they said nobody could ever defeat this city. From 1400 BC on, that's the way they considered this city. That's how great this city was, and how well defended it was. And they said because of the way the ocean currents were there, you couldn't get in there to get to it from the backside, so you'd have to attack it from the land, and then you couldn't get to the island, because there'd be no way to get across there to the island. It was just, and the rock wall around the city of Tyre that was on the island went straight. It was a sheer cliff wall that went down into the water, so you couldn't climb up it. So they said nobody could ever defeat Tyre. But God sent a message by Ezekiel. He said, "I'm going to destroy that city." You see, when God picks to do something, He doesn't pick the easy task. He didn't pick a city that was already crumbling to the ground and in ruins and say, well, I'm going to take care of that city. He picked the city that everybody in the world thought could never be defeated. And we're not going to look at this tonight, but another case in point of this is Babylon. Babylon was considered inconquerable. God conquered it. Now, he didn't come down from heaven and stop it. He used other armies to attack it, but he conquered it, and he did Tyre as well. And he said he was going to do it years before it came to pass. That's the kind of God we serve, that he can say he's going to do something years beforehand and do it. It's important for us to believe that and really believe that. Why? Why does it matter? Well, it matters because Jesus, before he left this earth, said, "I'm coming back." God, throughout the Scriptures, has said, Christ is going to return. I'm going to destroy this world. Now, a lot of people say, God, when he says it's going to be a fervent, he's talking about maybe a nuclear war or something, but it's not going to really destroy the world, it's just going to kill the people that are on the world. And then, then evolution will start over again and it'll evolve a whole new world. That's what people, they come up with these kinds of ideas. That's not what God said he was going to do to this world. He said the elements, I don't know how much you know about chemistry, but elements are the basic building blocks that everything is made of. Oxygen that we breathe. Carbon dioxide is composed of two different elements, carbon and oxygen, that we breathe out. Water is H2O. It's composed of hydrogen and oxygen. We have to have that to drink. Everything is composed of elements. And he said, the elements. Now you realize that when Peter wrote that, Peter probably didn't have a clue what an element was. He didn't understand what our scientific people have figured out. He was a fisherman. But when God said the elements will melt with a fervent heat, the heavens will pass away with a great melt. You realize he's not just going to kill off the people on the planet. He's going to destroy the universe that we live in. That's the kind of power he has. But in order for us to believe he could do that, he gives us some of these examples throughout the Scriptures and throughout history. He said, you got the flood of Noah. That didn't destroy the planet, but it destroyed all the life on the planet. At least all the human life other than Noah and his family. And of course the sea life flourished under those circumstances. But the life on land, it destroyed. And he gives this example of Tyre. Here was this city, a great city. In Ezekiel 27:4, Ezekiel says of Tyre, "Your builders have perfected your beauty." He talks about the different kinds of woods and imported materials that the Tyrians used in 27:3-11. He says in verse 33 of chapter 27, "When your wares went out by sea, you satisfied many people. You enriched the kings of the earth and with your many luxury goods and your merchandise." This was, we want to compare this to a great city of Paris or New York or one of these great big cities, Tokyo, Hong Kong, the cities that are known throughout the world as great cities. This is the kind of city it was. But of course, spiritually, they were a decadent society. Even though they were rich in material goods, spiritually, they were bankrupt. And that's all that matters to God. Because Tyre had spoken out against Jerusalem when Jerusalem was destroyed and carried away into Babylonian captivity, because they were rejoicing over that, God said, "That didn't make me happy. I'm going to destroy you because you're rejoicing over the suffering of my people." Chapter 26, verses 2 and 3. He shows that attitude that Tyre had toward Jerusalem when it fell, toward Judah. But I want us to notice in Ezekiel 26, and this is kind of a long section, but we're going to zip through it real quickly. But just listen to what he says he's going to do. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I'm against you, O Tyre, and will cause many nations to come up against you as the sea causes its waves to come up. You know, on a regular basis. You know, the waves come up on the shore constantly. He says, I'm going to send many nations up against you. You're not going to have any peace. And they shall destroy the walls of Tyre and break down her towers. I will also scrape her dust from her and make her like the top of a rock. It shall be a place for spreading nets in the midst of the sea, for I have spoken, says the Lord God. It shall become plunder for the nations. Also her daughter villages which are in the field shall be slain by the sword. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I will bring against Tyre from the north Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, king of kings, with horses, with chariots, with horsemen, and an army with many people. He will slay with the sword your daughter villages in the field. He will heap up a siege mound against you, build a wall against you, and raise a defense against you. He will direct his battering rams against your walls, and with his axes he will break down your towers. Because of the abundance of his horses, their dust will cover you. Your walls will shake at the noise of the horsemen, the wagons, and the chariots. When he enters your gates, as men enter a city that has been breached, with the hooves of his horses, he will trample all your streets. He will slay your people by the sword, and your strong pillars will fall to the ground. They will plunder. Notice he switches here. Now he's not talking about Nebuchadnezzar anymore. He says they. They will plunder. Remember, he said he was going to bring many nations, not just Nebuchadnezzar, but many nations. They will plunder your riches and pillage your merchandise. They will break down your walls and destroy your pleasant houses. They will lay your stones, your timber, and your soil in the midst of the water. Remember, it was an island, as well as being on the seashore. Kind of reminds you of New York. You know, part of it's on Manhattan Island, and part of it's on the mainland. Tyre, part on the mainland, part on the shore. He says, I will put an end to the sound of your songs, and the sound of your harps shall be heard no more. I will make you like the top of a rock. You shall be a place for spreading nets, and you shall never be rebuilt. For I, the Lord, have spoken, says the Lord God. For thus says the Lord God, when I make you a desolate city, like cities that are not inhabited, when I bring the deep upon you, and great waters cover you, then I will bring you down with those who descend into the pit, to the people of old. And I will make you dwell in the lowest part of the earth, in the places desolate from antiquity, with those who go down to the pit, so that you may never be inhabited. And I shall establish glory in the land of the living. I will make you a terror, and you shall be no more. Though you are sought for, you will never be found again, says the Lord God. Now remember, I told you that there is a city today called Tyre. But it's not the city that God spoke of. It's may be built in the similar location, but it's not this city. And we'll see that in just a moment. Notice a few things. Notice what the prophet said. Many nations would come against Tyre. The inhabitants of the villages and fields around Tyre would be slain. Nebuchadnezzar was going to build a siege mound against the city. The city would be broken down, and the stones and timber and soil was going to be thrown into the sea, into the water. The city would become a place for spreading nets. In other words, it's going to be a flat rock where you could lay your nets out to dry and to mend. You know, you needed a good flat spot to do that when you were a fisherman. And then he says also that the city would never be rebuilt. So let's look at a few of these things then real quickly. Nebuchadnezzar besieged Tyre for 13 years, according to Josephus, who lived back in the first century. He said, this is what happened. Ezekiel prophesied it. Now Josephus looks back at history and said, here's what happened. Nebuchadnezzar besieged Tyre for 13 years. The length of the siege, of course, had to do with how long it took him to siege it, because they could just keep bringing in goods in boats to the island city, and so he couldn't attack it very well because he didn't have a navy. So he couldn't get to the island. And this is an important point, that later on we're going to see another nation that does have a navy that comes against them. That's why Nebuchadnezzar couldn't do everything that God said he was going to do to the city. But Nebuchadnezzar did take all of the lands around it, all of those villages in the field that God said that were going to be destroyed, and he killed them. And Tyre surrendered, even though his army never actually got inside the city. They said, okay, we'll serve you. We'll send you tribute. We'll pay your taxes, in essence. We'll give you money to leave us alone. And that's what he really wanted. He wanted some of their wealth. He wanted to be in control over them and have their wealth. And so he got that. Okay. So, Nebuchadnezzar did a couple of things. He was one of the many nations that would come against Tyre. He did kill the inhabitants of the villages, and he did build the siege mound against the city. In fact, for 13 years, he besieged the city. But that wasn't all. In 538 BC, the Persian Empire absorbed, when they absorbed Babylon and took over Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom, they absorbed Tyre as well. In 392 BC, Tyre was involved in a war between the Persians and Cyprus. The king of Egypt took Tyre by an assault in that war. 60 years later, in 332, Alexander the Great besieged Tyre and crushed it. And soon after that defeat, Ptolemy of Egypt conquered it again in 315. Then Syria besieged Tyre for about 15 months and captured it. In fact, historians tell us that Tyre was besieged and surrounded and fought over by so many different nations that it was continually like being between the upper and lower parts of a millstone that grinds the wheat into flour or the corn into meal. So that's what it was like for Tyre. They were just constantly being attacked from both sides. They were in the middle of every war that took place for 200 years there. And they were being attacked constantly. Babylon, Syria, Egypt, Rome, Greece, Armenia, Persia, some of the many nations that came against Tyre. When God, in fact, you read all of these things and you start to read about and study about the things that actually happened to Tyre, you start to think, you know what? Maybe God was just underestimating and giving the soft version of what was really going to happen to this city, what he was really going to do to it. Alexander the Great, famous character in history, he came against Tyre and he did some of the things that God had prophesied would be done. One of the things was that the city was going to be broken down and destroyed, and that the building materials that had been used to build the city were going to be cast into the sea. And that's what Alexander the Great had not read the prophet Ezekiel. And thought, you know what? I need to go out and fulfill that. He was just doing what he did. He was just going out conquering. That was what he didn't care. He may have never heard of Ezekiel, the prophet from Judah. He didn't care about him, but he was just doing what he was going to do, and it just fit with what God had said was going to happen, because God knew the future. And so here he goes, and he attacks Tyre, and he does just that. He said, okay, I've destroyed the city here on the bank, but how am I going to get to that island out there? And he knew, you know, you can't just take a boat and go out there, because they're going to shoot down at you from the walls. So and they're gonna, you know, you won't, even if you got there, then what are you gonna do? It's a sheer cliff wall. You know, here's what I'm gonna do. I'm going to build a land bridge. It was only a half a mile from the shore to the island. I'll just build a bridge. Well, where am I gonna get the materials to build that bridge? I'm standing in the rubble of this great city. He got thousands upon thousands of people in his army to come get the rock and the rubble from the city and start throwing it into the sea to build his bridge to get to the city of Tyre. Isn't that what God said was going to happen? Your temples are going to be torn down, your walls are going to be torn down, and you're going to be, and the rubble of it, the walls and the timbers, is going to be cast into the sea. And that's exactly what Alexander the Great did. Well, of course, they sent their navies out to try to harass his workers to keep it from working. But this time around, unlike with Nebuchadnezzar, Alexander the Great had a navy of his own. And so he brought his ships and they had a sea battle, and that kept Tyre's naval forces occupied while his ground forces could continue to build his bridge to destroy the city of Tyre. And he conquered the city. Look at a few things. Yes, there is a city called Tyre today, but it's not this Tyre. In fact, here's what was said. In the year 1160, a man by the name of Benjamin of Tudela published a diary of his travels. He had gone all over the ancient world and written about it. And here's what he said about the city of Tyre when he went there. He said, from Sidon, it's half a day's journey to Sarepta, which belongs to Sidon, and then it's a half a day to New Tyre. See, that's New Tyre. They had to build another city. They still called it Tyre, but it wasn't the Phoenician city. The Phoenicians were no more. There were no Phoenicians. There are no Phoenicians today. They were conquered and destroyed. When God said He's going to destroy something, He destroys it. We have to go back to history to even read about the Phoenicians, because they were so utterly destroyed, those that lived here in Tyre. He says, it's a very fine city with a harbor in the middle of it. There is no harbor like it in the world. It's a beautiful city. In the vicinity is sugar, and they grow the sugar cane there and different things. And then he says, a man can ascend the walls of New Tyre and see ancient Tyre, which the sea has now covered. Well, what was one of the things that God said He was going to do to this city? He said He was going to cover it with the waters. And here it is. He says, you can climb up the wall on the edge of this new city on this island, and you can look down into the water, and you can see down there under the water the remains of the city that used to be there. He says it's lying about a stone's throw from the new city. In fact, he said you can, if you want to, go in a boat and you can see the castles and marketplaces and streets and palaces in the bed of the sea. When God says, like those of old, I'm going to cover you with the waters, do you think He's making a reference there to the fact that Tyre, the remains of it, is going to be under the water? Yeah. Those of old, just like the flood, have been covered over by water. Not the whole world this time, but this city, yes. And now, that was of course in the 12th century AD. Now, we can't even find the remains of it. That's how utterly God destroyed it. Notice what He said. So that they who will, shall seek it but not be able to find it. We don't know today where the ancient city of Tyre... I mean, we know the general vicinity, but it's been covered over not only by the water but by the sands on the bottom of the ocean. Probably coral grew up over it. But it's gone. It's no more. It's not there any longer. In fact, George Davis, in his book, Fulfilled Prophecies That Prove the Bible, included a picture of a Syrian fisherman with a picture and the caption under it saying, Syrian fishermen hauling in their nets on the probable site of ancient Tyre, which perished as predicted by the prophet. Found the island, the rock there, and the fishermen there, but no city of Tyre. Ancient Tyre is long gone. It has disappeared totally. And the coastline has even changed in that part of the world because of what had happened. We've got to understand that when God says, I make you a desolate city like the cities that are not inhabited, when I bring the deep upon you and great waters cover you, it's covered. It's destroyed. Well, I imagine that somewhere down in the layers of the ocean, there are still some of the remains of that city. And people don't even know where to start looking, really. They don't have the equipment to get down there to the bottom of the ocean to dig it out. But it's down there somewhere. We need to understand, God is powerful. And you realize, all of this prophecy that He speaks of through Ezekiel, He didn't use not one miracle to make this stuff happen. He didn't send fire from heaven like with Sodom and Gomorrah. He didn't send a great global flood like in the days of Noah. He simply used other nations. Possibly some natural cataclysms, earthquakes, or a tidal wave maybe here or there, or something to cover this city, to cause it to go down into the water, under the ground, under the surface of the ocean. But we need to understand that God, if He can do all of that, just using people who weren't even serving Him. You realize that? He used people who, they weren't His servants. They weren't people who loved Him and were trying to follow His commands that did these things. He did this using the heathen, as the psalmist said. Are you not ruler over the heathen? Do you not reign over the heathen? And if He could do all that with so little, can you imagine, first of all, what He can do with us if we will allow Him to use us? If we will serve Him and try to do what He wants us to do? How much greater things could He accomplish than that? But not only that, can you imagine if He can destroy a city or a nation? You remember, we read about the Hittites sometimes when we read about the land of Canaan. You realize that for years, the skeptics of the Bible said, well, the one that the Bible's not true because it talks about these Hittites, and there aren't any Hittites. But they forget, one of the things God said was He's going to wipe out the Hittites from the face of the earth so nobody would even remember them. Well, they finally found some evidence that there once was a mighty nation called the Hittites. If the world's around another 1,000 years, it's within the realm of possibility that somebody there might be sitting saying, you know, I found this document that mentions something called the United States of America. I wonder if that ever really existed. I mean, it's possible. But that's what people were saying about the Hittites. There was never such a thing as the Hittites. The Bible made that up. Until they finally found the remains of the Hittites. That's how powerful God is. He can wipe out an entire nation, leaving no trace. So much so that historians don't even think it ever existed. And if He can do all of that without miracles, without flexing His muscles, so to speak, can you imagine what He can do if He does it Himself? You know, He used Nebuchadnezzar and Alexander the Great and all these other nations to come against Tyre and destroyed it utterly. What do you suppose He could do if He decided to enter the fight? Well, people who say that He can't destroy the world, they don't understand. He could probably destroy this planet without lifting a finger. We need to understand how powerful the God we serve is. And we need to understand that He is sovereign and He is ruling whether we are freely under His command or not. He is in command. The only choice that we have to make is, will I submit to Him now and take advantages of being one of the citizens of His kingdom? Or will I rebel against Him and be punished as a rebel? That's the only choice we really have. Because no one can escape him. There's nowhere you can go that is outside of his realm of authority. The Word of God is true. It's not to be doubted. It's been proven to be true again and again. Every time they think something's not true, if they just study long enough and learn enough, they'll figure out God was right all along. We have a God who is able. But does He have a people who are willing? That's the question we need to ask ourselves. He's able. Are you willing? If not, you know, Esther was challenged, go do this for your people. But Mordecai said, if you don't, salvation will arise for the Jews from another place. You know, God's gonna do what He's going to do, whether you help or not. But it's better if you help. Better for you. If you're here and you have a need to respond to the invitation for any reason, we ask that you do so as we stand and as we sing.